Every Wednesday morning, just after 8:05, we check in with County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Always happy to see a Wednesday morning and have a chance to talk with you, too.
Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Marty.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving? That's our main question to everybody this week.
My goodness. And it was all homemade, and I'm just tickled I was able to pull it together.
Everybody showed up around the table. All the food was delicious. Did you have any leftovers?
Oh, yes, I did. But we also had a house full for a good part of the weekend. So it was a wonderful, wonderful vacation here for me, because to just have my family around, that's the best time of the whole world. So.
And I want to know how you cooked Thanksgiving dinner and then read the financial reports you get from the county and then got that all processed and ready to go for last night's meeting.
Well, of course, I didn't have the opportunity to spend as much time studying all these numbers because I took the holiday to enjoy my family, just like hopefully everyone else was doing as well. And then, of course, if you live in Forest Park Farms, that means you're in a forest with trees coming, all those leaves coming down, and boy, it's raking season over here. But I did have opportunity to look at it and to continue to get telephone calls and emails of people for and against, and one of the emails I received was as a reminder that back in 2013, when this came up before, we the council and commissioners, went out into the public. We went to different areas in the county and listened to the citizens of the county. And that is why I believe we made a misstep this time. Either we were going to absolutely understand that the people out in the county still felt the same way that they did in 2013, which certainly that's what I've been finding out, or you don't care what they say. I have no understanding of this at all, that we would just have this meeting in the courthouse with no place for these people to sit down. We had people standing up because there were not enough chairs, and this presentation went on and on and on with people who wanted to comment, but they were not able to because after 2.5 hours of standing, a lot of these people just left.
The presentation was over 2.5 hours long?
Well, I didn't time it, but I believe it was 2.5 hours because we had the convention center, we had like three different presentations there, one from Visit Bloomington and then one from another group that had numbers put together. And then after all of that, then they had the financial presentation by FSG, you know, our financial advisor, before they took public comment.
You'll have all the 13th meeting for public comment. People now will have all the information, time to digest it, and they can come back and do that.
Marty, I am just absolutely fascinated. There aren't any folding chairs apparently in the courthouse, and apparently nobody thought it was worthwhile to put on the agenda that it would take 2.5 hours to go through these presentations.
Well, and I had asked, is there a time frame for when how long each of these things would take? And evidently there was not a time frame set up for that, so we had so many members of the public just sitting there waiting for through all these presentations. Now, I will have to say that there was an opportunity for them to learn what the convention center and all of that would be, but I think we could have done a better job of understanding the amount of interest, and rather than the council taking up so many square feet of this meeting room with our tables lined up as we would in a work session, we could have been up where we normally sit during a regular meeting and taken up that square foot for the public to sit. And I just think it was short-sighted not to set it up in a way that respected
the public. As you mentioned, Marty, you're getting calls and emails and everything else. There's more than one way for people to reach out, and they can do that by reaching out to their representatives in the in county government. Multiple ways. And there's another meeting coming up December 13th, Wednesday. It says you could vote there. Where are we at in the timeline? What is going to determine whether a vote happens or a vote does not happen? Do people need to hurry up and make their voices heard?
Well, certainly if they believe, if the public believes the decision's already been made and there's little point to showing up, there might not even be very many people there. But let me assure you what is a whole brand new thing in this whole situation is that our representative Jeff Ellington, came forward last night and said, he sent me an email as well and saying, look, you know, I'm working at the state level to get this food, not the food and beverage, but the innkeeper's tax, that's a tax on the visitors, raised up to 10%. Now, if that happened and the state said, yes, that's okay, and he feels like, of course, if we say we want it, it's the innkeeper's tax and it's already in place, and that works very well because it's on visitors. Absolutely, not on locals, and we already have a commission established to help us run that with the Convention Center and Visit Bloomington, so all of that has worked well for over 20 years, and that raise would raise the same amount of money as this food and beverage tax.
What is the timeline on that either happening or not happening? Because it's not a guaranteed outcome, is it?
Well, no, neither is the food and beverage tax, because the legislation for the food and beverage tax says that no matter what we might agree to now and the city putting together a resolution or ordinance or whatever, that's not worth the paper it's written on, because this legislation says that we have to have permission in writing from this commission, which will be established after we already have in place a food and beverage tax. So there's no way that we could guarantee there's any dollars to be used for any specific purpose other than what the legislation allows it to be used for. Now, in addition to which, last night part of the presentation was that all of, if this food and beverage tax was passed, and it's supposed to raise $2.5 to $3 million, that the entire amount would be pledged. Doesn't necessarily mean it would have to be used, but it would be pledged and tied up to paying for this bond issue for this convention center. Now, that means even if there was dollars left over after making that payment, we could not, as a county, pledge that as a bond to go out and do trails, which I know we have council members who are hoping there's going to be extra dollars here, that it's going to be tied to economic development, and we're going to say, oh, these trails, it's the economic development, and we can then expand our trail system. Well, you couldn't pledge the money for a bond to do this. We would have to just do little bits and pieces at a time with whatever money might be there, and no guarantee we would be allowed to do it, because this appointed commission will tell us whether or not we're going to be able to do it. It's this whole legislation with the food and beverage tax, it was just poorly written and does not give any confidence to those people who are having to make this choice about whether or not to institute this tax.
Marty Hawk is our guest this morning. The county council representative checks in with us every Wednesday just after 8:05. I'm reading from today's paper here, just trying to shed some light for some people. That resolution states that both the county and city may use up to 7.5% of the tax collected for related tourism or economic development that support the convention center. The remaining balance, up to 92.5%, of collected tax revenue would then be used explicitly for financing, construction, constructing, maintaining, and operating the convention center. So, those.
Yeah, well, that's all well and good, but that's not, the legislation says we can't pass any resolution that would go around that the commission. So that resolution is worthless. I mean, that's a nice conversation. It's not law. Do you see what I'm saying?
And the law does state that unless this advisory commission signs off on it with a majority vote, you whatever you do doesn't matter. Isn't that correct?
Right. It has to be whatever the majority in writing, they have to say in writing whether or not we're going to be allowed to do whatever it is we would like to do with the money. And what we do with the money has to also reflect what is said in the legislation. So it seems to me that Representative Ellington's response is really going to be something to help us out. It would be a tax on visitors, which I have been continuing to say that's the direction we need to go. And we could pull this off, but because that increase in that tax would bring in the same amount of money as this food and beverage tax. So really welcomed.
Marty, okay, the legislation that Representative Ellington is suggesting, what exactly is it going to state? Because I thought that everybody said that there was no way that the innkeeper's tax could do, you know, anywhere near the kind of money that they're talking with a food and beverage tax. We were all told that was the case. So
well,
how is
you
this
know.
Legislation changed that how is the change? I thought they only could up it by a very small amount, and therefore it was only going to bring in like an eighth of what they were talking about with the food and beverage tax.
Right. Well, that's because they didn't want to raise the innkeeper's tax. They'd rather go out and get the money from locals from the food and beverage tax. I get it. However, for those of us who believe and pledged to the public when we first got that convention center that this was not going to be a local tax, that we were going to do it with the bed tax. Now, I understand that there's a lot of people who want to increase the food and beverage tax or put a food and beverage tax in place and leave that innkeeper's tax where it is. And maybe if you're the hotels, that's what you would like. Maybe they're afraid, maybe the supporters here are concerned that the hotel people won't be happy. But you know what? When the hotels charge what they charge for the specialty stage, you know, those high-demand weekends. And you've seen that yourself, Glass. What was it you said? It was like $700 and some.
Oh, $900 for a Michigan weekend or Ohio State weekend, whatever that was. Yeah,
right. You know, it's just crazy to say, well, they're afraid they won't get business if they have this innkeeper's tax increase. But no, that's nuts. I mean, that's... I don't believe that at all. And if people really want this convention center, that we ought to work with the state and make sure that we can increase the possibility of raising that innkeeper's tax on visitors. Because people who come here and want to be a part of the vibe of downtown Bloomington and the IU campus, they will pay that extra innkeeper's tax. They pay it gladly in Indianapolis over and over again. That's the highest, most desired location to be in Indiana for a conference or a convention is in Indianapolis. And they are charging 10% and people don't even realize they're paying it. So why not charge that here and allow us to grow our convention center and that exhibition hall, which is what the city really wants, and therefore not be charging locals. Now, in addition to which, if they don't want to take it to 10%, if they take it to 8%, then there would still be the need for the city to step up and take some money out of that downtown TIF, that tax increment finance, and pitch in with those dollars. Now, the debate was last night between the council president and myself as to, well, but that would be property tax. And I'm going, all right, the Richland TIF, you know, the West Side TIF, that's property tax, and we are asked to use that all of the time to help create jobs. That's what the TIF is supposed to be for, to create jobs. So why not use the downtown TIF to create jobs? It's absolutely, but they don't mind coming over to Richland Township taxpayers and say, hey, let's use up all of this money to help create jobs for the whole region. So why then couldn't the city step up to the plate and help create jobs for downtown as well as the whole region? I don't know why people don't see how clear that is, but
what is the backlash to that of not happening? Why are they not volunteering that?
They don't want to. Well, guess what? If you had whatever dollar amount it is in your pocket, and you think
you can always spend somebody else's money. Yeah, you always use their money. You don't use your own money.
Right. Why would you say, yes, of course, we've got this extra money, and let's make this work, and we'll put in this much, and you put in that much, and we'll figure out a way to make this work. No, they don't want to do that. They want the county to put in place a tax and send them the money. And I get it. That's a pretty good gig. If you can get the county council to do that, and you can go up to the state and say, hey, let's put this legislation together and let's make the county put in place this food and beverage tax and make sure they send it to Bloomington. Come on, folks. It just should not have ever been written the way it was written.
So but it's written it now. It's written the way it's written. And what's going to happen between now and December 13th?
I hope that people will see that there is this opportunity for the increase in the innkeeper's tax, somewhere between 8% and 10% increase. I mean, we're at 5% now, and if they could take it up to 10 or something, they're in between. Now, there will be a big push to say, no, we don't want to wait the 2 or 3 months to find out if that's going to work. I don't know why the big push is to get it through before the end of this year, but I would say common sense would tell you it's because they are concerned the state's going to change legislation having to do with food and beverage tax, and they're going to put in place, they believe the state will put in place, something that says all counties will be treated the same. They're tired of different counties coming to the state and saying, let me have food and beverage tax for this, that, or the other thing. So they're concerned that that legislation will change and what is in place will no longer be available. It will be something brand new.
Well, I can see why. Didn't we try to hurry up and get some things through before annexation happened? Didn't we? It's always a fluid situation, it seems like.
Well, and clearly, we rushed right through that public safety tax and then found out later, if we had done it just 1 month later, the county would have ended up in a lot better shape. But no, we were pushed to do it, and we did it without full knowledge of what this legislation meant. And I'm telling you, I'm hoping the county council will look at all these options and say there is no reason for us to have to do this right now, and especially not during holiday season. I do not understand the difference when I'm looking at past information where Commissioner Stofers said, let's just kill this thing right now in 2013. What happened between 2013 and 2016 when he was like, or 2015, whenever it was, when he was pushing for, we have to build this parking garage to help out the convention center? What happened in that 2 years, 3 years? What happened to change his mind? And I have not heard him say why he would have changed his mind. Because that's a big difference between let's kill this thing right now and let's jump on board and move forward with it.
Yeah, a couple opposite ends of the spectrum there. Now, the good news about your December 13th meeting will be there will be no 2.5-hour presentation, so you will have 2.5 hours of time for public comment.
Well, I hope that people will do that. But in addition to which, we've already been listening to the public. I mean, my phone rings, my email's going, I'm getting texts from people, and there's very few that are saying, I'm in favor of this. And, you know, I know the council member Spoonmore is doing the same thing, meeting with his different constituents, as I'm sure most of the county council is doing that. So we do want to support tourism. We want to do that. That's part of what we vote on all of the time. I would like for it to be able to continue to work as it is now, with our tourism commission being very responsive to make sure that those dollars are being spent appropriately. I would rather have it that way. Remember that that commission that is in place now, they just come and present a budget to the county council, and then the county council votes up or down with this budget. So it would not be like appointed people who could tell us, no, you can't use that money that way. And
yeah, so that's really disturbing, Marty. I mean, that appointed commission would have that kind of power, and we can't unelect them. We can't even fire them through having them not elected.
I know, and you know, when you've got the mayor who's saying that he calls it a bar and restaurant tax, just a minute here. How many people eat out on a routine basis because they're rushing from one spot to the next with their kids doing whatever, and they're not sitting in a bar, and they're not sitting in a restaurant to do that. They're dashing on to the next place to be. But I still bring that back to what I said last night. This is not, we should not refer to this as a 1% food and beverage tax and leave it at that. We need to make sure that we are continuing to say we are pulling money from the private sector of the tune of over $60 million, $60 million over the next 20 years. Now, that was in the report before the new report came out. I believe it's more than that. So is this the highest and best use for those private dollars from all of our citizens coming forward to be used for some public facility? Is this the highest and best use? Because $60 million is a lot of money, folks. It's more than just say, well, it's like not very much money, and if you think it's too much, we'll just cut the tip for the wait staff. I mean, that's the kind of statement that makes it clear that people just really do not understand what real life is about.
Will there be a vote on the 13th by the county council?
Well, I would say because there's the council leadership seems to be determined to try to get this through this year, we'll find out. But I'm not sure they've got four votes in favor of this. So
tune in on Wednesday the 13th.
Right.
Is that Wednesday the 13th? I have the right day, correct?
Well, you know what? I haven't even looked at it. I'm just going to...
Let me double check. I don't want to be spouting out bad information.
Marty, people listening, I mean, it's obvious to most of us listening to you that you're going to be not on the favorable side of just going along to get along. But if they want to voice their opinion, it sounds to me like they need to contact the other members on the council.
Well, I want them to continue to contact me as well, so that, you know, I need their support as
sure,
well.
Sure, but I think,
and what we are trying to do is make sure that if we receive something, everybody gets it. Now, I received some information from somebody who wanted me to read his comments into the record because he'd had surgery and he could not attend, and he had a lot of really good points. But there was reluctance to allow me to do that. I did send that email to council office, so hopefully they will do that. But you know what? During the presentation, I passed and did not ask questions so that I could save my questions for the financial presentation, and yet I was not allowed to finish out my questions for the financial presentation. Oh, no, move on. So it appears that if you're not doing what the leadership wants, we're not going to be allowed to speak. Well, we need to stand up to that. We need to fill that hall and make sure we all understand what it is the public wants.
So they could have 2.5 hours to present everything, but you weren't allowed to ask your questions to the financial presenter.
Oh, just, well, I try.
Are you allowed to submit them to him and ask them to read?
Right, we can, but the whole point was they didn't want that on camera, of course.
Right, I understand that, Marty, but what I'm saying is that if you at least got the information, you could come back here and at least we get it out that way.
Right, and I thank you. What I was trying to do was make sure that we understood we could get this done with an increase in the innkeeper's tax and then pull out the money from that downtown TIF, and we could make that work if the city wanted to partner with this. But they didn't want that. They did not want that to be discussed.
No, I'm sure they didn't.
All right, Marty, 8:34, we need to get boogie.
Okay.
We'll talk
all right,
next.
You folks have a good week.
We'll talk to you, obviously, next Wednesday, and then in 2 Wednesdays we'll have another preview because it'll be a Wednesday night meeting, which is different. So we'll
there
will
always be something more important to talk about. There always is.
We'll see. All right. Thank you, Marty. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.